And so... when there was a season where God wanted me to come alongside of my husband and help pastor this church, I ended up probably underestimating the battle and towards the end was overwhelmed with the position and with what I needed to do. Overwhelmed with the attack on my husband's life. And just trying to survive. And so in that process, I know I hurt a lot of people. I know I didn't always handle things well. I know I was harsh. I know I was demanding. And probably the more that I battled with fear of not recognizing the battle or understanding the battle, watching my husband almost die before me, I think it's more the fear came, the more I struggled. And so I want to repent and ask your forgiveness for allowing that struggle to come onto you, for the harsh things I said or the demanding ways that I maybe showed. I just need to ask your forgiveness, because I want this to be in the past. I want this to be connected to family church, but I want the release more than anything for the season that we are coming into. Because I really do believe it's an awesome season. I'm not sure. I know God's really taking me on a journey. And I'm not sure if I'm supposed to be doing so much pastoring in the future. It could be that there is a shift. I'm sensing a shift for my life. But more than anything, what I want is what God wants for not just me. Because, you know, like Kim said, when you're searching, and until Jesus satisfies you, it's when you know the love of Jesus and you feel the acceptance of Jesus, then you can begin to say, okay, God, what is my purpose? Because then you understand that Jesus really is the foundation for your purpose. And so it's been a journey for me. It's really been a journey. But I want the journey for me, most importantly, for me to be in the right place with God so that I can be a blessing not only to my husband, but to the people that God places in my life and to my children. And so I just, we're hoping, Glenn and I, to... after the CFCM conference, we're hoping to get away for a couple of weeks. Because, I mean, quite honestly, we're tired. And we're worn out. And we're a little weary. And so more than anything, we just really want to get with God. And just, you know, it's when you're in the battle and facing some pretty big fights, there are times where you got to retreat and you got to just refresh, refill. And so I'm looking forward to that. So for those of you who I've hurt in the past, I ask your forgiveness. Because I really do want what God wants for this church. I think we have a great group of people here. Because I think that there is a people who love God.
You can pray. So we're just going to pray. God, I just thank you so much for everything you are and everything you've done. And right now, God, I just pray people would, that we would just open our hearts to your real unconditional love, God. Not this superficial, I feel happy kind of love, God, but a love that passes all understanding and a peace that sustains like regardless of circumstance, God. So I just pray, Lord, that settle first, God, and God, you gave me that verse, the joy of the Lord is our strength, all morning, God, and so, God, I just pray, Lord, that it's a real joy, God, that even though we might be facing some real Goliaths, Lord, that joy sustains, God. And God, I just pray that you would just raise up the warrior spirit in people, God, and that you, that, you know, we might feel like a David and insignificant and I don't have whatever the devil is trying to plan in the head, God. I just pray that they would have the wisdom to rebuke that at every step, God, and that they would take that stone and they would throw it and that they would just conquer things in their life, God. Because, God, you want so much more. And, God, if it takes a scream, let them scream. God, yeah. Because we've been silent for so long. Sometimes you just have to make a little noise. Amen? So, yeah, I just feel like God is just saying that. Because I walked in here this morning and I wanted to scream. So I think that's what we need to do. We just need to make noise. And we just need to scream. And we just need to wake it up. Yeah?
So, Father, I've repented before the people, and I have already spent time in prayer and repenting before you. But, God, I just really sense that before the people, Father, I repent for not maybe treating the sheep of your flock properly. But, Lord, now I come before you, and I just pray for our people. I pray for us, God. And, Lord, there's been many shifts in our church. There's been many shifts in people's positions and the things that they've done in the past, and there's been lots of changes, and you know, Megan stepping down from praise and worship, she heard your voice clearly that it was time for a shift, and And Leslie has just stepped down, and there's been many shifts and changes in the leadership, God. And sometimes when we don't understand it all fully, when it's not revealed fully, that can create uncertainty. But I speak over this congregation.
Yes, Lord.
And I say that this is a people, we are a people that are trusting you, that in the midst of the shifting and the shaking and the changing, God, our eyes are focused on you and not on people, because people will always let us down when we're expecting too much. And so, God, we say that we are trusting you. And I just pray for a release right now amongst the people, that in the shifts and in the changes, God, that people have got spiritual ears that are open to hear your voice, so that when you speak, God, and you speak to certain people and say, you know what, I want you to pick up this baton. I want you to pick up this vision, and I want you to run with it and take ownership over it, Father. That there would be courage, and there would be boldness, and there would be peace for people to step out and obey. God, I thank you that you are at work in our midst, and that you are refining us, and that you are purifying us, and that you are reshaping us and equipping us for the task ahead. God, I pray for patience. I pray for patience to be upon this body, that there would be a recognition, God, that sometimes the reshaping and the rebuilding, the renovation process can sometimes be frustrating and seem slow. So I pray for patience, God, that we would recognize that even when it seems like there's not a lot of changes happening quickly, God, there really is massive changes happening on the inside. And so, God, I thank you that you restore hope to people, that you restore vision, that you restore courage, that you restore passion, that you restore joy, that you restore peace, that you restore, more than anything, the love of Jesus, the love of the church, the love of unity, the love of peace, the love of a God-driven purpose. And I pray this in Jesus' name.
So, it's funny, I had coffee with a friend last night, and we were talking about kids, and they're so carefree. I love it. You know, and I've missed the Painter boys, and I have them this morning, and I was like, I just love you. You know, because they give love so unconditionally, and they have such faith, and they trust so deeply, and I could slam, yeah, and I could slam his finger in the door, and half an hour later, he's going to love me. So, like, it's just so unconditional. You know what I mean? He may not forget, but he's still going to love me. So, if I could just call the youth, including you. Oh. Yeah, if you guys could just come up here really quick, please. Subby Katie. Yeah. Yeah. So, I just feel God is saying, you know, they're not like 10 anymore, but they still have a really raw and fresh faith, right? And so we want to encourage the youth to rise up and start empowering them to use the spirit that God has invested already in them, right? So, guess what? So, yeah, if we can pray for you guys today, that would be great. So if that's okay with the adults in the room, if you wouldn't mind, and we would like to pray for you this morning. If you can come forward, that would be awesome. And you know, it's funny. I think I really have a sense that God's going to release from them a new, fresh, I don't even know the word. It's just something new, something unfilled. Yeah, they're going to release something for you for whatever you're going through. I don't know what it is, but amen.
Patience, I'd like to thank you so much for the word you came up. God showed me something I had never seen before when you came up and said that about the name change. I remember when we changed our name, we had sent out, what do you call them? Anyway, we asked everybody exactly what you would like, and we picked names, and we came down with five, and then we sent out five to see what everybody would like, and I believe with all of my heart that the name we picked was the name God wanted for us. And, you know, Jacob was a thief until God changed his name to Israel. Abram was just a wealthy man until God changed his name to Abraham. And Peter was just impetuous until God changed his name to Rock. I think there's something very significant that patience brought forward that I don't think I ever grasped. And maybe I'm the only one, but I believe God changed our name from Family Church to Embassy, just like patience said. And I think maybe we completely missed the significance of that. And because of that, we kind of stumbled a little bit. And we have to realize that God has changed our name. He's changed us as a people from what we were to what we're on our way to becoming. I'm not sure we're there yet. But I just kind of wanted to expand a little bit on what Patience said, that there's something extremely significant in a name change. It wasn't just, gee, we got a new building, let's change our name so nobody knows who we are. It wasn't. I don't believe it was that at all. And I just wanted to expand on what Patience said again, that I think it's very significant that we are now Embassy and not Family anymore, for the exact reason that what Patience said is that we're not to be an ingrown family anymore. We are supposed to expand out, and we are supposed to be an embassy for what God wants to do here. And in an embassy, of course, you've heard all this before, people go there for refuge. If we're in Europe, if a Canadian is somewhere in Europe and there's a problem and they can't get home, they go to the embassy. The embassy looks after them. The embassy finds a way for them to get home. And I think it's significant that God has changed us to an embassy so that we can help people find their way home.
A while back, I shared this with Pastor and Mrs. Stead. And I myself, God told me to read this book, Chasing God, or God Chasers. And, you know, I tried years ago, I just attempted a few pages, and all this is boring. So I never did read it. And then three times he told me in church, you need to read that book. Okay, so I pull it out and I start reading it. And, you know, it's about revival in the church. And if you can get your hands on that book, you guys need to read it. I mean, maybe God told me to read it and I was too stubborn. But really, honestly, you need to read it and find out what God's, because it is so applicable to our church right now. Anyways, make a long story short. Pastor's not going to be able to preach at us. The thing that God had spoken to me in a dream one morning was that we're down in the basement. And the basement's not a bad place to be for a while, right? But in a basement is foundation, right? If you don't have a foundation, your house crumbles, right? So here we are. We're building a new foundation, and it's called Embassy Church. It's not Family Church. It's Embassy Church. And when we get up there into that new area, eventually, God gets us up there, that's when Revival is going to just break out crazy. Like, you're going to see people coming in here, new people occasionally checking it out. But up there, you're going to find a lot more people coming in because the sound is going to be a lot different than it is here. You know, it's going to be louder. And and the other thing was, there's been a few people that have left our church. And for me, I found that really a difficult thing. A while back, a long time ago, had dealt with offense in my life. And now, I don't know if they're offended or whatever. I don't really care because it's between them and God. But I really was searching in my heart for this. And God said to me, that's nothing for me. I'm way bigger than that. And that just like, okay, well, whatever. God's way bigger than these tiny little problems that we have here in church. But you know, we need to get off our butts and start worshiping God. When, Sandra? Oh, I wish she was here all the time, every year. I mean, throughout the year, but she's not. And what she shared before she left, you know, I wish all of us could go to different churches and see what the praise and worship's like. And it's not because I'm playing up here. Nothing about that. I love the praise and worship in here. I just love it. And, you know, if I get the chance and I'm not playing, I'm hooting and hollering out there and dancing. If I could dance like I used to, I will. My knees are going to get better someday. No, not someday. They are better. But, you know, all you guys that are able-bodied, you should be up and shouting and dancing and twirling for, because Jesus is the answer. The sitting on our butts and twiddling our thumbs and looking like we had a dozen pickles before we came is quite annoying when you're up here. You know, you guys, I wish you guys could see what y'all look like up there. Seriously. Like, it's almost discouraging for us when we play some good music and you guys are going, I wish this was over. Do you know what it looks like towards God when you do that? Don't you think he'd like to give you a kick in the rear end and say, come on, let's get going. You got a good church. Make Embassy Church an awesome church. Okay, if we're not family church anymore, then make Embassy something different. Get a different identity. Quit being lazy Christians in your praise and worship. Okay? I hope I like Sean. And sometimes it's hard, Sean, eh? Oh! Anyway, another one to exhort us.
I believe that my kids are very, very godly young boys. The year that we've been in this church, I've really seen it come out in them. I've seen it come alive again in myself. My boys leave here, and all they talk about is church and what they've learned and the importance of prayer. And they have such joy, and they're so excited to come back. They don't want to miss Wednesdays. They don't want to miss Sunday. And that joy that we talked about that we all need again, you know, we're seeing it in our kids. We're seeing it in the younger generation, and that's what we need, that joy, that excitement. And I kind of was thinking about what the boys said on the way into town. They said, Mom, I don't ever want to go to another church. And I think that I was sitting there and I was thinking, you know, this has to kind of be like a marriage. You know, that's the way they think. They think, I want to stay here. This is where I want to be. We have to be committed. Not only committed to God, but we have to be committed together. We have to be excited to see each other. We have to love each other. Really love each other. And from this day forward, all the negative thoughts and the thinking about how we've been oppressed and all these other things are done. I sat down and I told Joan. She got up and she repented And from this moment, God said, it is finished. It is done. So we need to stop thinking that we are depleted and we are tired and we are coming from below and this is it. It's up from here. We are going up from here and that's it. No more looking back. No more worrying about all the bad stuff. It is finished.
Pastor Jonah, you have no idea how long I have waited for you to come and say that. That was such a blessing and such a release. And I want you to know that took so much for you to do that and is such a release. And the verses that I want to share are the ones that Jesus said. He says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And I think you had taken on a burden that wasn't yours to take, trying to be what we thought you should be. And nobody knows what a pastor's wife or a co-pastor or any of that is supposed to be, so how do we know? But the plan that God has is so much bigger, and it's so much easier. And I remember when we were in Lindsay, and I'd think of people who held on to the past, and I'd say to John, if people could learn to rip up their calendars once a day is done, or if we could put all those old calendars and those old unforgivenesses in a coffin, in a casket, and bury them, and know that once they're buried or they're burned or they're thrown away or whatever, that they're gone, that yesterday is a finished thing. And what you said blessed me so much, and it took such a weight off, and it's like the weight is gone. And I believe for this church, the weight is gone, and we can succeed, and we can be all that God's planned, because what's God's planned is so much bigger, and it's so much easier, and it gives us rest, and it's not heavy, but it's light.
Every time I pray, this whole, I don't know how long, year? For a while I was praying for the church in a certain way, and God said, that sounds like a worry prayer. And I thought, I'm not worrying. But then I began to analyze how I was praying, and then I realized what God was saying. It was a kind of a heal us up, Lord, prayer, and not a move us forward kind of prayer. And then there were other times that I'd pray and I'd hear God say, this is my church. I have it in my hand, and I'll see you through. In any event, I could stand here and talk about that for a bit, because there have been all kinds of things that God's shown me on our way to what's new. And I began to recognize in the middle of all of those prayers that even in our prayer life, the church has to be together. Not just when we come to church and not when we say nice things and all of that, but we even have to pray together, which takes another step, which takes us to a whole other area, if you like. Because the new that God's bringing in that began with our name and all of that is so big. It's bigger than all of us. It's bigger than one of us. It's big. That, you know, he's called us to seasons of prayer, and we're soon to go into another season. I really feel like God's saying, don't miss it this time, because we need to come together now, bigger than we ever have before. Most things are birthed in prayer. Anything good for God begins in prayer. And so I need to say this to you. When you hear the announcement for another season of prayer, make a sacrifice. Do whatever it takes to be here. It'll only be however long God chose us, but it's not usually a long time. And it means, yes, sacrificing this or not doing that or whatever, but I urge you to come gather for our birthing prayer here, because that's what I believe these seasons of prayer have been about, birthing what God's going to do in this place and in the hearts of the people. Now, I was going to preach on fasting this morning. I know I no longer have time, but I do have to say some things to you. I've had, since we had Katie on the films recently, and she accented prayer, she accented fasting, I've had some of you write to me, and some have called. I need to say this, first of all, that it was the 40-day prayer that she talked about there. 40-day prayers are really good, but you really need to make sure that 40-day fasting, you need to make sure you heard from God to do a 40-day. I've done lots of fasting in my life. I've never done a 40-day. I've never had God tell me to do that. I would if He did. But, you know, there are some things that in the practical you need to think about. To just jump over into a 40-day just because you think it's a good idea can bring harm to you. It's not a good thing to just jump in there. And, you know, the human body can't go without water very long. So there are some things you can do that are not wise. Anyway, I'm not going to spend a long time there, but to say the fasted life is a good life. And I will get to preach it soon because I believe we need to hear the message. We've not ever spent a long time at it in our church. And in fact, the last time that it was preached fully in this church was while Wayne Smith was still living. He came in from Nippon and preached fasting to us. In any event, prayer and fasting is how a whole lot of things happen. And it's not just Old Testament. It's a real fact of life. It's how God wants us to deal. It's how God wants us to live. And yes, first and foremost, the fasting words in the Bible are about not eating. And we'll get into that when we come back together and bring a teaching on it. But there are lots of fasted things. For an example, if God speaks to you about being a part of the prayer situation that we've had going on, and you say, but that's the night, or those are the nights my favorite shows on television, or whatever. Sometimes that's a form of fasting too, where you set aside something that's favorite to you in the world or whatever. But then God says, join my people, join my church. You need to set some things aside. And then finally this morning, I don't believe that God designed church life to be all pretty. I don't believe that church life was designed for us to have a perfect world here. In fact, I believe the opposite. I believe God brings us to church to teach us up. And sometimes that's to teach us up how to relate to people. And sometimes there are difficult seasons that we go through when we go to church. For an example, one of the biggest things that I learned in going to church all these years was how not to be offended. And I used to carry offense really big, and I'd get offended at the least little thing. And so God taught me some things through the people I love at church offending me because I was offendable. He taught me some things along the way and through that. There are lots of things that He brings us to church to learn, and that's not always by petting us. Lots of times it's by confronting us by the Spirit of the living God. There are times that I come to church or go to church or go to a Christian meeting or whatever that I get confronted and I have to go home and look at me. Don't know about you, but then I have to come back to church and live it. That's not always easy. It's not always fun, but it's church. In any event, the season we're in right now, God shows me, is a wonderful season, not a bad season, a wonderful season of going through to be what we're to be in the days ahead. I, like Wayne, and I know all of our elders, would say to you, we know that God gave us the new name and the new vision to go with the name. But he's shown us very clearly that there's a way through to that. You know, a little while back, I talked to you for a minute about the wilderness. How that God will say, I want you to do this, but there's a wilderness first. Even Jesus. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased, the Father God said, on his way to the wilderness. There were things he had to go through to get to where he was going and what needed to happen. Well, that's, I believe, where we are. But you know what? When I watch all the wilderness experiences in the Bible, they all come out so much better. Ready, willing, awesome in ministry and all that God called them to. That's where we are. And it's okay. And so when I pray these days, and I pray much for all of you and for the church, Jonah and I do together, you just need to hear. God seems to want to keep reassuring us that it's okay. We're on the right track. We're doing the right things. Prayer? Yes. Fasting? Yes. It's not just an Old Testament concept. But hear me. God wants to do a birthing right now of that new vision in us. And it's going to take us saying, yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, I'll put down my favorite little things. I'll do what you call us to do. We can all hear from God. And when we hear, let's step out in it. Brother John, close the meeting for us this morning, would you?